going to run into the difficulty. We're going to get some ease. We're going to get, but it's a question of how much and how fast and how far it goes. And eventually, we will run into a situation in which a lot of people will say, well, hell, for domestic purposes, maybe it's all right, but we don't dare do this because it'll cause outflows, capital outflows, and our balance of payments will be ruined. You know, they always bring that in.
I'm trying to get you down to the bill rate to about 460. $465. I'll be glad to hear all that kind of talk. But I think you're meeting that with this other conference, and I think that instead of letting him wait on that, just tell him, come on, let's get it down another 25 points.
And leave it to us under this legislative program and under the negotiations internationally to make other people come along sufficiently so that we won't be hurt.
That is a Roger. I agree with that. And I think the quicker you get on it, particularly getting him to pick up this housing. I'm just scared we've gone from $1.5 million down to 800,000. We've got the winter coming on us, and we just got to let them have some money and some paper, and we just can't go any further. I wish you'd try to see him this week.
I will. He's out of the city, but I'm going and see him. I
just tell him we're distressing, and I take him the figure. And I called Weaver, too, and tell him to go looking at what he's got holding up over there in the way of urban renewal and in these multiple housing units and the old folks' things and see if he can't get somebody to work 24 hours overtime and prove some of these things and get them out. You have no idea the effect. Dick Daly's calling me, everybody in the country. Home builders were here yesterday, and They just say you can't get them started much. The wonder is that we've got stuff packed up over there 3 years to have them approved. So I think we've got to try to make Federal Reserve pick up some of this Fannie Mae paper. We've got to make Fannie Mae get out and sell some more if they need to. We've got to make the home loan bank go in there and put in some more money on these things just like we did last time. And we've just got to get to where we can sell a hell of a lot of participants out of participation. I don't want to fight with Martin about that because he won't, yeah, that doesn't interest him much. But the last figure I got on the budget, when you're talking about your revenue dropping, you start out with 124 revenue and 140 expenditure. But if we have the pay raise and we have the anti-missile, and we have a few of these things it looks like we're going to have, with rather strong curtailment that will make probably anybody else raise hell, we're still going to have over 21 or 2 billion deficit. And I just don't think that we can do that. And I think that the only way we can avoid it is to add 4 or 5 more in participation, and that means you got to have another fellow up to help Joe Bowman because they're going to damn sure try to stop it in that appropriations committee.
Yeah, that'll be rough. Mr. President, I will send you a full memorandum on this, which I think you'll be interested in reading, particularly what the Bray had to say to me. And if you've got a minute now, I'd like to read it to you because it'll give you a flavor that will be useful to you in talking with various people as this comes along. Could you spare me 1 minute?
Yeah, I can spend a minute or 2 minutes, but I can't spend much longer because they've got a 12 o'clock meeting and they're waiting to go ahead, though.
Right, sir. DeBray thanked the Secretary for his presentation. He said that it was most helpful to have an authoritative statement on the outlook for the American economy. All Western countries, in particular France, have been concerned about the high level of interest rates prevailing in the United States. This is why the minister was so interested in what Secretary Fowler had to say about monetary policy. The minister could understand why, before the elections, the U.S. authorities had been unable to shift part of the burden from monetary to fiscal policy. All governments encounter political problems of this character from time to time. However, the high rates of interest engendered by monetary policy followed in the United States recently had effects far beyond the United States. It stimulated very considerable capital movements throughout the economy of the Western world. This evolution would go too far. The French authorities feared they would have very serious consequences. He said that insofar as France was concerned, French financial authorities found themselves facing something of a dilemma. They could hold down their rates or perhaps allow them to move only slightly in order to keep them at a level which the authorities felt would assure the kind of economic evolution they wanted to promote. This policy, however, ran the risk of stimulating a huge surplus of outward capital movements that would soon become unbearable. An alternative policy would be to allow French rates to rise in order to avoid such capital outflows. This, however, would probably stimulate capital movements into France and the United States and other countries, which would in turn be led to raise their rates as a countermeasure. This would be a kind of interest rate escalation for which no one could predict the outcome. Mr. Debray said the French authorities felt that the high cost of money would have even more serious consequences for Europe than for the United States. That is why he was glad to hear the Secretary say that the presidential advisors in the United States favored a shift that would place more reliance on fiscal policy and less on monetary policy. I discussed the investment credit thing with him. The minister would like to underscore this point, for there was even a certain degree of anxiety on the part of the French authorities. If present rates were to continue to prevail, the minister was persuaded that in 6 months' time, there could be very disastrous consequences in Europe. If the French authorities were confronted with large-scale capital outflows, they would certainly have to impose control to deal with the situation. That is why the minister wholeheartedly agreed with the final conclusion of Secretary Fowler's remarks about the importance of avoiding excessive reliance on monetary policy and keeping interest rates at a tolerable level. Mr. Debray said that while the matter of the budget was primarily a U.S. internal problem, he did want to confirm the French viewpoint that those advisors in the United States who favor a balanced budget are right. French authorities recognize that debts in the budget may be desirable for purposes of stimulating the economy as been in recession, or its performance has been sluggish. The Secretary spoke about the fact that the rate of growth of the American economy seemed to be moderating. That was true, but at the same time, the current rate had to be viewed against the background of a period when the economy had been growing at a very rapid rate. And I said I would like to make a couple of comments on his remarks. I said it was true that there was a rather widespread feeling in the United States we had not taken any fiscal measures last year. In point of fact, tax measures taken in the president's program had removed $10 or $11 billion in purchasing power from the economy. And then I recalled to him that when he was here in September, we were in the process of asking the Congress to suspend the investment credit in order to dampen the boom in capital equipment expenditures, which is the first time in American economic history that an administration had proposed a tax measure purely for economic reasons, for the revenue effects of the suspension were insignificant. I said I thoroughly agreed with Debray's comments about the danger of interest rate escalation. I felt that there should be excessive reliance on that there had been excessive reliance on monetary policy throughout the Atlantic area. I sometimes wish there was a trade union of finance ministers to provide an institution through which they could exchange their views on questions of this kind. Mr. Debray said that finance ministers needed an institution for exchanging views about the lack of wisdom on the part of some of their respective adjuncts. Secretary Fowler said it was also a question of excessive zeal of some central banks. Fortunately, in the United States, Chairman Martin agrees with the viewpoint of the administration about the desirability of some easing in monetary policy. Moreover, the American rate situation now seems to be evolving in the right direction, thanks to some reduction of prospective outlays for investment expenditures, to the suspension of the tax credit, the efforts of U.S. agencies to keep out of the financial market. Rates have been moving down. While predicting a continued downward trend, I didn't want to suggest the pace would be sharp, for there were large demands of money. Then I showed him the interest rates, which showed that, the way that they were all moving. Now, that's the background of the... He said also he wants to get in some international monetary discussions. And I told him, well, I would welcome an opportunity to discuss those with him, provided he understood I couldn't discuss changing the price of gold. That was the one subject that was out. So not only for interest rates and monetary policy, I think these discussions will be useful for other reasons, but the public billing of them ought to be to to the extent that we say anything about them publicly, it ought to be that we're trying to work out plans and programs for international financial cooperation in lowering interest rates and in easing money on an international scale.
I'm a strong part of that. I told you that.
All right.
The quicker the better. But don't forget to get a hold of Martin wherever he is and get from him, number one, find some of Fannie Mae stuff as Congress passed last year, because they're going to go right into the hearings. And that's good paper, and he ought to get it. And try to get him to loosen up, get him down the bill some. And we don't have to go down too much more, but if he gets it down to about 460, it's 485 now. He brought it from 545 to 485. And if we just get this Fannie Mae, start buying that, get his opinion on this conference, get him to try to get a letter out to tell these damn bankers to loosen up a little bit. If you don't, you're going to have a revolution and depression too.
Well, I'm going to tell him, because I always play square with him. I'm going to tell him about the meeting, but I'm not going to try to get him to approve it, because these central bankers just like to have this whole thing left unto themselves on the international scale. You see, they meet every month over there in Ball. That's the thing Al Hayes goes to. And
I haven't got much sympathy for Al Hayes.
Quite frankly, what Callahan and I are trying to do is to get ourselves in a position where we don't have to rely on the central bankers getting together.
I agree with you. I want you to do it. Do it the quicker the better. Suit me.
All right, sir. All right.